kept going and kept going, and I'd been seeking the Lord for an opening scripture this morning, and the word continue came to me. And I thought he was telling me, you know, just keep working on it, and you keep going, and eventually you'll get it done. Get it done. And that's what I did. But I kept meditating on that word continue. And I sensed that there was a lot more to that, because it also became the word for coming into the new year, was continue. But it was vague in the sense of, he gave me the word, but I kind of had to look to how it fit in. And nevertheless, after about 6 hours, it was all done. And then the rain came, and people could come in, and there was no ice around the building anywhere, so it was safe, because the yard lights go around the building, but they don't go way out to the extreme edges of the property. So that's always something that we deal with, we'd have over the years. But as I thought about continue as a word for the new year, the Holy Spirit helped me to bring us to a couple places in the Word that are very relevant. And here's where, for the new year, it can be very helpful for us to be thinking about this. The first one is in the book of James, chapter 1, in verse 25. And in this portion, James is talking about the engrafted word in the previous verses. And engrafted means the word becomes a part of us. It's like if you graft fruit trees, you can have three or four different varieties of apple growing from the same tree because you graft them in, and they feed off of the main root. Well, the word is really important in our lives, and when James talked about it being engrafted, the word becomes a part of who we are, and we become a part of what the word says we are and who we are in Christ. There's a connection that comes together. And he went through all of that, and then he talked about being hearers of the word and not doers, being forgetful. The previous verses like that address a real key issue about remembering what we read, remembering what the Lord has spoken to us, and to continue in those things. And then he comes down to verse 25. This is really an amazing thing, because as a new believer, I didn't know some of the things that I do now. And he said, but whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man is blessed in his deeds or in what he does. And how important this is. So I underlined some key things in here. I use the New King James, because it says, but he who looks. It distinguishes those who look and those who don't. You know that sometimes you don't find something unless you look. So he who looks, the one who anticipates, the one who is looking ahead, looking into the perfect law of liberty. What an interesting phrase that James wrote, because in the beginning of my walk, I had no idea what he was talking about. Not really. But I will this morning. And we talked a little bit. I said, just wait for the opening scripture. And continues in it. And there that word continue came to me in the parking lot. And is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So, as I thought about that, the perfect law of liberty, another verse came that I was reminded of. And it's from Romans chapter 8. So just, it's hard to pick one and not have the word interpret the word. Because this is so perfect when you see what the perfect law of liberty is. And some of you may already have an opinion of that. You may have some insights or ideas about it. But let's look at what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8. And I have verses 1 through 4. And because this is very relevant. This is about continuing. Romans 8, 1 through 4. There is therefore now, I love the word now, no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So James was talking about the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty is the Spirit. It's the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of life in Christ. The Spirit, the other one, is the Spirit of sin and death. And every time that we think about the two laws, one kept us in bondage, and the other one set us free. The one that kept us in bondage was by design, and it could not free us from sin. No one could be saved keeping the law, because no man could keep it. It was designed that way to point us to the Messiah, who would come under the law, if you will, but he came as a schoolmaster. You can read about that in Galatians chapter 3, the purpose of the law. But the perfect law of liberty is a wonderful law because it's perfect. It's complete. There is nothing lacking. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. It's a spiritual law. It's a spiritual, another spiritual law is you reap what you sow. You can't escape that. It's like gravity. It's a law. I just know things don't fall up. They fall down. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. And that's the perfect law of liberty, is the fact that we're free because of that law. And it's a perfect law. It's flawless. It's fail-proof. It's a winner. It's a keeper. And he says, who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it? And that's where the word continue. I was getting kind of discouraged because I thought it was going to start raining about midday and I hadn't even got the ice back to just a little bit ahead of where this row of cars is next to the building. And I kept looking over there and looking over there and says, oh my God, my shovel's only 14 inches wide and the parking lot's like 70 feet wide or something, and I almost got discouraged thinking about how much further there was to go. But I kept thinking about that word continues. And so I kept continuing with the knowledge that I had about that word just for that, not really applying it to this yet because that came a little bit later, but continuing therein and not being a forgetful hearer, because I kept hearing the word, just continue, just continue, just continue. It was like a sucking water up out of our cellar with a shop vac all day at the house on Christmas Day. We were calling it the Christmas from hell. And that's what Faith and I did all day Christmas. But that word kept coming to me, continue, continue. And so we heard that word and just stuck with it. Well, eventually all the ice was gone and it didn't rain. The rain held off until way to the end of the day. The yard was safe for people to come that don't know it as well as we do. I'll tell you, they and one of us said that we could spot a speck of ice from 40 yards. Yeah, we know the land. But when you have visitors come, you think about stuff like that. Or I do, at least, you know. And so on the spiritual application of that, what do we do with 2021 coming? And we're going to be faced with some, I will just say challenging. I used the word dicey last week, but I meant maybe we're going to be challenged. It's not going to be an easy year for us if we're looking outside of Christ. We need to keep ourselves focused in this perfect law of liberty that he talked about, because that's where life is. That's where victory is. That's where we're going to overcome. That's where our peace is going to be found. That's where our joy is going to be found. That's where our strength is going to be found. It's found in that perfect law of liberty. And he says, and not a forgetful hearer. Don't be quick to forget what we hear, because we're waiting for another word. I tend to say, well, yeah, that was for last week. And then I start seeking for the next week. But don't make the mistake of forgetting things, real solid truths that you learned a long, long time ago here or before here in your walk in the Lord, because it's about our foundation. It's about our faith foundation. What has been built on that foundation? And if the foundation is strong, anything that's built on that will stand when storms come. And everybody has storms of life, but I believe we're going to have a stormy next year coming. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's an encouraging word that we're to continue in walking in this law of liberty, because that's the only place we're going to be free. You try stepping out from under that, and we're prone to getting wet when it rains. So make sure to keep the Psalm 91 traveler's umbrella over you as well. A lot of scriptures come together about this. Not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer. Take this word and apply it. Do what it says to do. Not because it's a law, but because it works. It's something that God gave us. He gave us his word. And he's faithful to keep his word and to watch over his word to perform it. And his word doesn't return void. And he says, and the one who will do that will be blessed in what he does. I finished a parking lot. We got the water sucked up out of the cellar. We were tired when we were done, and we slept good. But we persisted with a little murmuring here and there. I'm guilty of that. Okay? I want to walk in that perfect law of liberty, but sometimes I... being left-handed, I take a wrong step. Leads me this way. And so that word continue, I really felt was the word for coming into the new year, not only as an opening scripture, but it's going to be next year by the time we meet again. Unless some of you come up Thursday night and we have a time of prayer, it'll be next year already when the following Sunday comes. So, take heed with that and look a little closer into that, because Paul described the spiritual truth. It's a spiritual law that is greater than any physical law. We have laws of nature, laws of gravity, things like that. But when it comes to our walk with him, this is really, really important that we remember this. And just remember the word continue. The law of the Spirit of life, which has set me free from the law of sin and death through Jesus Christ. As we look not only to the rest of today, but the other days that are soon going to follow, and we will soon be in a new year, and lots of times people will use scriptures like, behold, I do a new thing. The Lord has spoken, and he makes a reference to things that we've not seen yet, things that we've not seen that he's already done. But that's not where we're going today. That's just it's just something common that we as believers generally hear each year. But I would like to continue on a little bit more with our fail-proof living teaching, because it's very relevant for the time that we are living in. It has lots of guidelines. It's meaty. there are a lot of things that are so much deeper than the word as it's written. This really stuff there that's important. And so with that in mind, would you please come with me to Colossians chapter 3? We read verses 1 through 5 the last time that we were involved with this portion of Scripture. Today I'd like to read verses 12 through 17. I had an opportunity to read these one time at a church in the city in Nairobi, in Kenya, in 1998. And it was part of a teaching on Christian values, Christian principles. It was a very large Anglican church, which the structure was very similar to our Episcopal church structure. And so I felt almost out of place to go there, having been barefoot or wearing jeans and t-shirts back in the bush area west of Nairobi, up in the mountains, and to go to a large city church. It was a very different experience, but I remember these scriptures very clearly. But I remember looking like I am now out to the flag, and the sanctuary was as long as across the lawn and beyond the yellow lines in the middle of that highway out there. It was just so long, and I thought, just so structured and ornate inside. And then I spoke and everything came undone. It just was such a, I don't know, let's just read it and talk about it. Because it has to do with our Christian virtues, our Christian values. We talked about the new value system that we have as believers, that we lacked. We could be good people and do good stuff, but it didn't come from the same spirit that does from Christ until we're saved. He says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." It's about our personal relationships with others. And when he says to put on something, it's like we put on a jacket this morning. And all the time we're wearing that jacket has its own characteristics. It's not like some of the other ones we might have in our closets. We pick the one we pick for today because it was appropriate, if you will. And we made that decision. Well, Paul talks about there's clothing for Christians too. And it's Christian clothing. It's spiritual garments. And it's about a lifestyle that becomes for the rest of our life here in these earth suits. And when it says, put on as the elect of God, chosen by God, we were adopted into his family. He chose each of us to be in his family. And I think that's a very powerful truth that gets neglected sometimes. And it's important because it shows God's favor. It shows that he's the one that made the call. He's the one that made the choice. Do I want them in my kingdom or don't I? Nah, they're a little scruffy. Nah, don't want those characters in there. But he says the elect of God, chosen. Usually when you would read that, it would be a reference to the Jewish nation. Those were God's chosen people. But then salvation came, and we've been engrafted in. We're part of his chosen beloveds. And it's important to think in a right spirit about that, but to know who you are. We talked a few weeks ago about people that don't even know who they are anymore. They do strange things to find themselves, to know who they are. We can just come here and see who we are. this word is a mirror of Christ and ourselves with him. So this is part of that garment, holy and beloved. When I think of holy, I think of Christ's blood. When Christ's blood was shed for us and we received the benefits of that, it's his blood that made us holy. It's not wrong to say that we're holy people. It's not being puffed up and prideful. It's a truth that we don't have to try to be something that we already are. And I think that's a result. A lot of people get burned out in the laboring and all that goes with it to attain something that we already are. Holy, beloved. I never heard that word until I got saved, and then I kept seeing it in scriptures, that we're God's beloveds. And you think of beloved as part of a marriage vow. Well, we've entered a vow. We're entered a marriage, if you will. And now we're beloveds. Beloved of the Lord, that is such a term of endearment. That's precious. I don't know how many of us that we can remember our parents ever calling us as beloveds. I know mine is an exception, perhaps. It didn't happen. But, you know, not everybody's like that. Not everybody has that same kind of background. But to use those terms and to use it as often as you see it in the scriptures, you finally get the picture that there's someone who really, really, really loves us. And it's important to take that personal, that he loves you that much, that you're one of his beloveds. And that's precious. You know, for we men, we put on the tough act, you know, but, you know, we're his beloveds too. And sometimes we just kind of gloss that over. Oh, you couldn't be talking about me. God, I didn't shave my beard this morning. And bowels, when I think of bowels, I think of all of our inner organs, you know, our guts. In here, where the ribs protect and embrace all of those vital organs. Out of that, Jesus said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. He was talking about that portion of our body in a natural sense. Out of there flows rivers of living water, and it comes out of our mouths. But what the Lord has put into us, it's down in here. It's at gut level, if I might use that phrase, because you all live around here. You know what that means. It's from deep inside, deep within, the real part of us. Not the outside, but it comes from inside. Bowels of mercies. Kindness. Humbleness of mind. Not thinking to be something that we're not. And when we find out the things that we are in him, it takes all the attention off ourselves and puts it in its rightful place on him. It's because of him that we are these things. Meekness, long-suffering. I murmured a lot the other day. And we suffered all day. But these words, they portray the greater one who dwells within us. And so, whenever we go out anywhere, wherever we go beyond here, it's part of who we are now. And we're to put on display, if you will, that people see these character qualities in us now that weren't there before Christ. And now they are. And it's about how we treat one another, not just within the body of Christ, because it's easy to love our brothers and sisters, but to extend the same kind of mercy, the same kind of compassion and kindness, meekness, some of the fruit of the Spirit. I used to think meek meant weak. In my military days, and Jesse, you experienced that too. If you put on meekness, you're going to be devoured. People take advantage. People, oh, he's weak. He's a little wimpy kid. He's so meek. And there are some who will want to take advantage of that. But do you really know what meekness means? Biblical meekness is one whose will is submitted to the will of the Father. And if you think that's weak, try it for about an hour. Try it for a day. Try it for a week. Try it for a lifetime. Because you see, that's what God has built into us now. And that's why this fail-proof living is so good, because it gets right down to the nitty-gritty of what Christianity is really all about. It's about our character. It's about our integrity. It's about the qualities that Christ has built into each one of us. We have the opportunity to live outside of that, but we can't deny that it's part of us. That's why he said put it on, because we have the choice not to. And things don't go so well when we don't, but they go better when we do. Forbearing one another. That's really difficult sometimes, because there are certain people that just rub that hair on the back of your neck the wrong way. It's like taking one of your cats, Carol, and rubbing his hair backwards. Do you have one or two of those cats that don't like that? Yeah? Well, see, we're like that too sometimes. There are certain people that can wear on us, that they're needy, but they don't ever want to change what they're doing to make it better. And they think, they feel sorry for themselves, and they want to drag you down and pull you down. But forbearance is realizing that, looking beyond that, and being there for them just as much as we would for one another in the faith. And that's where it's really hard, because it's something like we have to put on. We have to dig deep into our guts to come to that place where we can be that way with certain ones. I mean, you all know people like that, that you have a really hard time reaching or maybe getting along with, or rub you the wrong way once in a while. But this is where that strength is going to come from. It's going to come on from the nature of Christ within each of us now as believers, to help us overcome tough situations like that. So we have to look beyond the surface and get down underneath, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Christianity and forgiveness go hand in hand. We can't say that we've been forgiven of the Lord for all of our faults and all of our shortcomings and then withhold that same forgiveness for another person. Look at some of Jesus' parables about forgiveness. And it's very clear that we are to be people who practice this every day until it becomes normal. I know people have talked about COVID until it becomes the new normal. It's not normal. It's right out of hell. And it's come to kill, steal, and destroy. John 10:10, that's where that came from. But this comes from the Lord. Forbearing, forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, we're to do the same. Oh my, time, what is time? And above all these things, isn't that neat, there's an above? Just when it started to get, we should move on to the next verse, I did. And above all these things, there's something greater. Put on charity or love. Now this is talking about the agape kind of love, the Father kind of love, which is the bond of perfectness. I don't know if I said that correctly, but it's the bond that holds everything together. It's like contact cement or contact glue. And you can't break it apart. It's stronger than the original seam, if you will. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. See, that came up in our conversation this morning, didn't it? about that peace. See, that's unique to believers. There can be all kinds of turmoil going on around us, but the way we win is to not let it get down on the inside of us, because then we're in turmoil, maybe a little stress. And those, as long as we live in these earth suits, that's going to be part of our battle, to learn to overcome those. It doesn't mean that they don't come at us. Doesn't mean that we don't experience them once in a while. But eventually, we learn to see it for what it is and rise above it. And that keeps us as winners and overcomers and more than conquerors. I'll probably save the rest of these. There's only three more for another time. When I think of bond, I actually do think of cement. I'm talking about cement like glue, not cement that sets up like concrete, but glue that's strong. And if you get super glue on your fingers, you might as well go get them amputated, because if you try to pull your hand apart, fingers are going to come out of their sockets to get your hands apart. But that's what this love is. That's the Father's love. You can never get rid of it once you got it. It's just always there. And we have it. We don't always walk in it. Sometimes we, not sure if I want to love that person like that, because I could be the doormat next week. But it's not to be neglected either, because it's one of our great strengths, is to be able to walk like that and to have these qualities in us that are from the Lord. And greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. The greater one dwells within us. We house... Yes, Aaron? You want to do that? Oh, yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah, I'm passionate about it too, sorry, go ahead.
I think it's beautiful the way it puts it.
Okay. Okay. From the Passion Translation, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. You are always and dearly loved by God. So robe yourself with virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others, and be compassionate, showing kindness toward all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. Ooh, that's a hard one, isn't it? Choose not to be offended by others. Because for us as believers, it's always a choice. We can choose to be offended. But I like, Faith, was it Joey, the guy that had his legs blown off in Iraq? Somebody made fun of him in a skit on Saturday Night Live to make fun of him. And it backfired in the guy's face because Joey says, I just chose not to be offended. And then he got invited on the show live, and they did a skit together, and the host of the Saturday Night Live show really had a lesson about what it meant to choose not to be offended, and it really did a work in his heart too. And that's the thing about when we choose not to be offended by others. It doesn't just strengthen us, but it does something in the heart of the other person too, because they can't figure us out. You want to bless them with a brick. Boom. But no, we don't. So anyway, we'll leave off there for today.